Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here with me in the studio, the man who's usually with me, the man himself, Weasel Weeze.
Yeah, boy.
Stephen Weasel Hurley, bringing you the noise here on the National Gridiron Network, bringing you football talk, just the way you like it. That and so much more. So happy to have you aboard with us. I know that we had promised you all this hype about the debate between Big TJ and Mr. Mojay Ray Harris, but unfortunately, due to things beyond our control, one of our contestants was unable to attend, so we won't be able to have that this week. Oh, I know it's what the people wanted. A lot of people were stoked about it. Hell, I was stoked about it. That's okay. We got plenty of football headlines to talk about. Weasel and I haven't been hitting the headlines like we'd like to lately because we are bringing you, you know, debate awesome. But hey, every now and again, I mean, it's a reason we drop a lot of times here on this show because football. And of course, football in all fashions. Weasel, I want to run this by you. Something in the video game world because, you know, we kind of do the video games. I know one time, for example, just to explain it, Weasel has bought me at least two separate versions of Madden for birthday or Christmas. So yeah, that was awesome.
Over the years.
That's right. There should be Kenny Rogers. Through the years. No. Anyways, but no, in all seriousness, and you know, we play our fair share of Madden. We've had some discussions about the Madden curse on this show and how certain things have went down a particular way. Well, the upcoming Madden cover has been announced and it is officially one Richard Sherman. Now, I don't know. Weasel, are you surprised by that? Does that kind of blow you out of the water at all?
Well, He definitely has a face for the cover, and the thing is a lot of it was due to his kind of. It's funny that his rant had a lot of to do with it,
yeah.
Because Richard Sherman's the name that's, you know, out there and all, but to get the cover of Madden being a cornerback, dang.
Right, and he's certainly the first corner, I think, and he's in the elite group of defensive players to make that cut. Certainly, not many defensive players on the Madden cover. Of course, the other one worthy of note, Ray Lewis, obviously.
We got Tony Polamalu with Larry Fitzgerald.
Troy Polamalu, right. I keep forgetting the dual cover. I always think of that as that being Larry Fitzgerald, but Troy Polamalu. Oh, Troy Polamalu, he's on there too. That's right.
Yep.
No, absolutely. So, I mean, the short list of people in the... A short list of people who are defensive players on the Madden cover. And he beat out, of course, Cam Newton in the final round. Basically, for those who don't know, they set up a bracket of 16 players, and through votes online, they determine who's going to win the day and earn the cover placement. Now, for me personally, what I can't, it's so much that Richard Sherman is on there more because of celebrity. It has nothing to do with the fact he's a defensive player. He even beat out a quarterback on there. I'd have liked to see Cam on the cover, just me. But I got no problem with Sherman being on there. I mean, I think you said it best, the rant, as we'll call it. You know, we chided that a little bit on this show. We didn't really have, between the three of us, we didn't really have a heavy opinion against him doing that at the time. It was kind of the other stuff. Really, the rant is the thing that we kind of had a least problem with. Dude was talking smack and somebody had a microphone convenient. We're not going to hold that against him. And, you know, even encountering him in person, what I've come to find is he's not that guy. He needs catalysts to get to be, quote unquote, that guy.
Yeah, I think the thing about Richard Sherman is that the guy, he's a mad trash talker. And the thing is some people may see that as, you know, thuggish and that he is that, you know, he doesn't respect the game, stuff like that. But the guy is very intellectual. He graduated with a communications degree
from Stanford.
Yeah. So I guess he's having a trash talking problem with a communications degree. But the guy's really smart. He's like for the all over the field with, you know, I think he led the league last year in interceptions and stuff. So
not sure, but he was definitely among the top.
Yeah. So, but the guy, very smart, and it's fun to watch him play.
Yeah, no, and that's definitely true. I mean, look, I'm not going to take anything away. Of course, he had the play that altered that implies it was predetermined. I don't mean like that. That helped decide Conference Championship Sunday, of course, over the 49ers. You know, we all know it by now, the back of the end zone, little tip there facing off against Crabtree. Malcolm Smith is a name that I will do my darndest to make sure that people remember, because he's the guy, the linebacker, that actually caught that interception. And oh, by the way, if you thought he was garbage then, ended up being the MVP of the freaking Super Bowl that was defensively dominated by Seattle Seahawks. So don't be telling me I'm out of my mind bringing up Malcolm Smith. Thank you very much. Wow. You could tell I've not actually had a chance to talk on my show for a while. I'm going ape over here, and we're only 5 minutes in. What the hell, Weezy?
All right.
No, did you have something else, or was I just going that
crazy?
No,
you're good.
You were just kind of like, yeah, I saw you nodding your head a bit. Yeah. I didn't know if you're trying to jump in or not. That's my bad.
Word.
Whatever. We're fine. You know, and something else. See, I'm about ready to rock your world, Weasel. I'm going to bring up a basketball example. What? On this show? You only do that for debates. Well, usually that's true. But, of course, the instance I'm referring to is with one LeBron James. You might have heard of this cat if you follow basketball a little bit. You know, he's a name that you come across every so often.
It's a pretty unique name, too.
LeBron?
Did you just say LeBron? You know you're talking about.
He often is referred... You know, that's a good call, Weasel. He's often one of these cats that's referred to by just his first name. You know, kind of like Tiger. LeBron. You know, of course, now when you say Tiger, it means something completely different. Not so much the case for LeBron. Of course, at one point, LeBron was vilified and seen as a choke artist, even by somebody who is also residing on this show, and it's not me. But until Game 5 against the Celtics that year, you were converted like many others. I'm not talking smack on you, Weasel. I just like bringing up that Game 5 of Boston, because even though I'm not, you know, a basketball fan primarily, that is my third language. And, well, you know, I'm trying to speak it a little bit fluently. I got a chance to, not this past Friday, but the Friday before on the Opinionation. I was on the Earnestly Speaking Show with EJ Hernandez. And, of course, Hernandez. EJ Christian. Where am I coming up with EJ Hernandez? I think that's a guy I used to work with or something at one of my old jobs.
Maybe EJ Henderson?
Ah, good save. But EJ Christian.
Former Vikings linebacker.
Yeah, EJ Christian is the guy I'm thinking. Who the hell is EJ Hernandez? I don't know where I came up with that. Anyways. EJ Christian, of course, of the Op Nation, with whom we have recently merged. And, of course, the NGN Zone, G. Stelio, was there. And, you know, G. Stelio tried to start another debate about how great Jay Cutler was and failed again. You know, that is what it is. Love you, Jay. No, but we were talking about basketball and stuff and was wowed by my basketball analysis about the fact that Old Mother Hippard, between games 4, 5, and 6 in their most recent series, only averaged 7 points. But I have to hear about him as an elite big man. Please. No. Mm-hmm. No. Okay. I grew up with Alonzo Mourning, Hakeem Olajuwon, Dikembe Mutombo. I could probably keep going. Patrick Ewing. Bam! I did keep going. What? No, I'm tangenting to big heck. But what I'm getting to is this. So the NBA Finals for 2014 started last week. I think it was Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday or Thursday, 1 or 2. Whatever. The point is this. Allegedly, although there's people talking about conspiracy theory, which I don't necessarily buy, but whatever, the San Antonio Spurs Arena was having problems with their AC. I believe it got up to like 100 degrees inside the building or something stupid like that. Anyways.
I've heard it most of the time they were saying like 90 degrees is where it was at. But I'm sure can go up and stuff.
Yeah,
that's
90,
still
100.
Very hot.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like Scarlett Johansson hot. Boom. No, but what I'm trying to say, what?
I don't blame you.
No, but what I'm trying to say is look, and you're trying to play 48 minutes at the highest level when you run around the court like LeBron does. He had problems with cramps, had to leave the game early. He tried
had to be carried off.
Had to be carried off. Yes, much like when Michael Jordan in his day. During one of his final stints. Ah, so all those people want to make fun of LeBron. Think about that. That. No, Michael Jordan's still better. I'm not trying to get at that line, but, you know, let's not be stupid. What I'm trying to say is this, though. People have been whispering that the San Antonio Spurs ownership, staff, whatever you want to call it, front office, whatever, may have actually had their finger on the thermostat. Da-da-da. Now, the reason why I go there is I mention this, first of all. Like, so to me, and I will first give credit, because I am plagiarizing a little bit. To me, Eric Casillas had the right take on this. It's kind of like in football when you go to the cold weather, right? You know, you go to Lambeau, you go to Foxborough, go to Ralph Wilson in Buffalo, right? You will inevitably deal with coal. Now, both teams have to deal with that, but it affects both teams differently, right? So, for example, if it's a big-ass snowstorm, heck, you've seen this with one of your teams, the Steelers, facing off against the Browns, right? Mm-hmm. Hines Stadium. It's a little snowy up in that piece. No doubt. Could be a little bit violent in terms of the weather. And there was a game way back when we were still in print. I'm going to struggle to remember the runners at this point, but I think it was Ruben Drones was still relevant. That should tell you something. And Jerome Bettis was certainly still in the league.
Nice.
Yeah, that's my dude right there. I mean, you know, when we start doing, if and when we start doing video shows, I'm definitely going to sport the Pro Bowl Jerome Bettis some. Because, first of all, I happen to look fabulous in it. All right? Front on that. And Jerome Bettis is, yeah, that's right. I said I look fabulous in a football jersey. What, Weasel? Judge me all
good
you want.
Good for you, man. Good
hey,
for you.
Hey, am I wrong? It looks good, right?
Okay.
You're just pissed off because you don't have one. No, but man, I keep tangenting. But what I'm trying to say is this. So, what if, and there was a situation where this actually happened, what if, as the management of a football team, you do something in your environment to adversely affect your opponent? For example, in the 80s, and I know about this because, look, I turned 35 in August, Weasel. That's right, I just dated myself. Deal with it. I could probably play football just as good as better or better than a lot of dudes like, you know, who are weekend warriors like myself and 35 and 300 pounds. I'm just saying. But in the 80s, and I basically all my life, my dad takes every opportunity, not every opportunity, but most opportunities he can to complain about Don Shula, coach of the Dolphins, watering down the field for the AFC championship game. That's right, a conference championship Sunday in the 80s, no doubt, to face off against the Jets. Well, the Jets had a running game that was pretty solid, but due to a lack of footing, they were supplanted. Well, what do you mean? The grounds crew allegedly forgot to turn off the sprinklers to make the ground really wet. Now, whether it's making the sprinklers really wet for a running team and keeping them from being able to run, or jacking up the AC a wee bit, is it really wrong for a front office to do that?
Well, did the Dolphins adjust accordingly? Like, did they wear like longer cleats or anything like that? Or?
Ooh, you're getting real detailed. No, I can't speak for that. I mean, I don't know that they kept that kind of record in the 80s. Well,
what I was saying is that you would think that it would also affect the Dolphins. Because, I mean, running on grass or running on turf or something like that, yeah, it can get a, if it gets wet and all, it should affect both teams.
Unless, you're right.
Because, I mean, how can you teach your players like to run on wet turf or wet grass? But
well, you see, and you put that forth. You said the same thing I just did. So now I have an opportunity to break this down. Sweet. Okay. Who do you think is more adversely hurt by rain-drenched grass in that case? And it's going to be grass because we're talking about, I think this might be Joe Robbie days in Miami, right? I mean, but you've been to the stadium. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know it's on grass. It's not Joe Robbie anymore, obviously. It's had several name changes since. But what I'm getting to is this. Would you rather be the Vikings with last year with Adrian Peterson and Christian Ponder, or be the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, or, you know, that running game, Eddie Lacy and company there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's more adversely affected? Now, granted, they both have the same effect to deal with. That's not the question. They both obviously have bad footing. Sure. But does it affect both teams the same?
The only reason I mentioned the cleats is that I heard that for cleats, you have different lengths.
Oh, yeah.
And I think wet weather would be one of them.
But both teams would have those cleats. Both teams could make that adjustment unless the trainer is an idiot. Oh, my God, I left my bag in Minnesota. No. I mean, but you're right. They do have that. Both teams would have that at their exposure for, you know, especially this day and age. I mean, you know, you're right. There are different lengths of cleat. Now, would the Dolphins have come out from moment one and maybe the Jets? I can't speak for that. It's a good question, but I think it's supplanted by the fact that they would both be able to test the game, see the field before the game, see it sloppy as hell, and go, "Hey guys, put in the inch long cleats, not the half inch or the quarter inch or whatever."
Yeah.
You know, you would want to use quarter inch for like turf, for example. The shorter cleat is for the artificial turf. Mm-hmm. Longer cleat is to get better traction in slop. And yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That's something people have there at their disposal. But regardless of the fact of your cleat, who's going to run better? Adrian Peterson or Ruben Drones, right? So, you know, so you have, that's one difference there too. But if your only option is Adrian Peterson and you're the Vikings and that's your main attack, that's pretty much it. Or if you're the Kansas City Chiefs with Jamal Charles and that's pretty much it. No offense, Alex Smith. You know, you're more adversely affected, right, than say a Drew Brees and the Saints or an Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, right? Because they can go to the air still.
Yeah,
and, you know, and
the Vikings couldn't do that last year.
You see what I'm getting at?
I got you.
What I'm getting at, you know. I mean, basically, that's what it comes down to. So whether it's the Dolphin example with the Jets, the one I made up with the Vikings, or even, you know, the case with the Spurs and LeBron. You know, Braun and the Heat, well, the Heat on the whole are a far less deep team than the San Antonio Spurs, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the Spurs have Manu Ginobili coming off the bench. The dude could arguably be a potential Hall of Famer. I don't think he will be, but he's that caliber of player, and he's coming off the bench. You know, meanwhile, their only hope on the bench is, for example, they have names like Greg Oden. I don't have a problem with Greg Oden, but he's not a guy. He's a guy that more often than not doesn't play, whereas the Spurs have depth, can recycle the players, can keep things going, where if you're one of the big three, right, Braun, Wade, or Bosch, you're, you know, and you're tired faster when the team is depending on you to play 35, 40 minutes a game, that's going to be a bigger factor. Depth was the difference there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the situation affected both teams the same, but it didn't have the same effect. Actually, no. Let me try that again. That's not the best way to word it. Both teams had to deal with the same element.
Yeah,
here we go.
Yeah,
both teams
that's
had
better.
To deal with the same element, but it affected both teams differently. So, I mean, you know, there you go. And, like, it works in other ways, too. You know, the Saints always playing better in a dome, all this other kind of stuff. You know, you find teams that don't rely as much on speed don't necessarily have the same problem with being effective in a dome, right? You know, you see that from a Stafford and Calvin Johnson, the Saints. Meanwhile, Panthers don't care who you are. Niners don't care who you are. They're just going out there and beat the hell out of you. The Seahawks don't care who you are. You know, they're just going to come out there and beat you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm still trying to figure out how it works with the Broncos. You know, I'm weirded out with that. I think that's less about the elements and more about the personnel. But that is a different topic. You know. So, anyways, the other big news that occurred last Wednesday, I think, is when it actually broke. There was a contract that was signed again. I shouldn't say again. There was another contract signed. Now, there's a lot of quarterbacks out there edging for new contracts. I mean, you know, that's what players do. The NFL is a business, all this other happy stuff. But this one in particular was the extension of one, Colin Kaepernick. Now, when I first heard about this, well, actually, let me be real. I don't know about you, Weasel, but lately, when I've heard news of contract extensions being signed, that kind of thing, I'm at that place now where I stop trusting the report. Like, you know, oh, this player signed, you know, a 500-year, $40 bazillion contract. Oh, my God. And when really, like, it's, you know, it's good for, like, you know, 1 year and a coupon for some fries. You know, I mean, it gets pretty stupid. But, and Kaepernick's contract in particular, his extension here is even more... What's his word? Deceiving, if you look at just the numbers. Because what is it? Is a 6 year. What's the total number? Six year.
$126 million.
$126 million. I kept wanting to say 162. Apparently, I'm dyslexic.
It wasn't that much, dude.
Yeah, I know. I was dyslexic. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I mean, dyslexic. Shut up, Weasel. Anyway. No, but in all seriousness. $126 million. Thank you. Which people are like, oh my God, that's like over $21 million a year. No, just stop it. Stop it. Go home. You're drunk. No. Okay. And what it came down to is guaranteed money first is always, that's the number you're looking forward to see the validity of a contract's cap hit, right? And, looking at this, Colin Kaepernick's signing bonus overall was 12 million-ish. But the guaranteed money is 61, so less than half, right? Now, people are going to be like, Colin Kaepernick isn't worth that either. And when you look at his various cap hits throughout the years, it's not all that bad, really. You got a $3.7 million cap hit going into the coming season to finish out his current contract, right?
What percentage of the deal would you say is guaranteed? What did you say?
Well, if you got the $61 million guaranteed and you got the $126, it's less than half, right?
What I'm seeing about the Kaepernick thing is 10.3% of his deal is actually guaranteed.
Oh, do tell, Weasel.
Yeah, it's
break it down.
It's actually it's a pretty crazy contract.
I'm not gonna lie. I was gonna get there, but I like that you're stepping in. This is good because the people who are already out there saying that this is a bad contract, tell them what it is.
Well, it's a decent contract for Kaepernick, but usually when there's a contract signed that's huge like this, you gotta ask yourself, how does that affect the team? Now, I guess I'll let you go through like the specific numbers and such, but Kaepernick gets paid about $12 million in 2014, and then that number goes up and up by $2 million each year.
Well, what is that based on?
It's, I mean,
like say incentives for making, I don't know.
There is a interesting incentive that he has for just the $2 million up and up and up, is that each year he has to either go to the Super Bowl or be a first or second All-Pro team, which is kind of, weird and all.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
But, by the way, was Colin Kaepernick a Pro Bowler this year?
No. Yeah.
No, Russell. He was not.
Yeah.
So, and actually, well, and Russell obviously was. I don't know that he was or not now that I'm thinking about it, but he couldn't have played in it anyway. Why? He was in the Super Bowl. So because we're doing that whole ingenious thing of playing the game before the Super Bowl, and now that people might actually start to watch the Pro Bowl again for some of that teammate-on-teammate crime that we saw in this past Pro Bowl, I'll put it this way. If the Pro Bowl starts to work, I think they're going to move it back after the Super Bowl. We'll close the door on that. So,
okay, well,
yeah.
Well, I'll just say this, that the team is protected with this contract. It's if Kaepernick turns out to be, I've read a lot of stuff, people comparing it to Chad Pennington. Chad Pennington had great numbers, like over 70%. I think his touchdown to interception ratio was really good. Mm-hmm. And this was after, I think it was like his second year or so. And so they signed him to a big contract. And then injuries occur and all this stuff. And
he was made of glass pretty much. Yeah.
But for this contract, it's the 49ers, they can save themselves with, they can cut him pretty much at any time. It's the only part of the contract that was guaranteed, I think it was like part of the signing bonus and I think a couple million after that.
Right.
So Kaepernick also has to have he has to take out a $20 million insurance, $20 million insurance thing where if he gets injured, I think he would get $20 million from the insurance and the 49ers would get paid.
Right.
So, and that was unusual that the player had to do that outside the contract. So, you have all these other players. You have like Stafford, you have Carson Palmer and others. And their contracts are guaranteed for like Stafford's is $53 million.
Mm-hmm.
Palmer, he had says 62%, and so all these players, they have a contract where guaranteed this and guaranteed that, but the cap is very bad for those teams.
Right, and you mentioned another one. Let's go with another recent signing, $54 million connected to, of course, one Jay Cutler. Now, these are all hits that end up, I think, I can't speak for all of them, but I'm looking at Cutler's in front of me right now, and this is one of few contracts that doesn't get to a $20 million a year cap hit until 2019, but I believe Tony Romo's contract, for example, in either 2016 or 2017 or both, start breaking $20 million in a cap hit. The only other quarterback I know about that's done that lately is Eli. So, I mean, it's getting to the point now to where even the guaranteed money is a damn misleading number, right? Because we got all these provisions written in there. And the insurance policy thing you write about, for example, it's $125,000 a game, excuse me, that Kaepernick would miss as an injured player. He is not collecting that money, allegedly. And I can't speak for this insurance policy. That's a bit of information you brought to the table. Mm-hmm. But, you know, should that occur, the Niners are recouped that money. Or no, they're both kind of recouped
pretty
that money.
Pretty sure they're both recouped, yeah.
That's very interesting. Let's dig on that and have a little bit more for the people next week. That's
it's kind of weird that he had to take it out outside the contract.
Well, I mean, it was a term of the contract. Be careful using the term outside the contract. But yeah, I see where you're going. I mean, the Niners didn't pay for it. That's what we're getting at. Which, I mean, look, I think it's smart for both sides, because if Cap is continuing to be Cap, somebody who shall rename nameless, even though I love him dearly and he's a very good friend of this show, made an asinine comment about Kaepernick having Tebow numbers at one point. During the season for 3 or 4 games there. And it's true, he did struggle. I think it was one game he went like 8 for 20 or something stupid like that. Of course, he was also without both Vernon Davis and Anquan Boldin, but no one wants to talk about that. Anyways, you know, he didn't lose to Carson Palmer after Carson Palmer threw 4 interceptions in a game 10-9. You know, just for example. Not that I'm coming up with any sort of reality from any sort of a Super Bowl winning quarterback or anything like that, Seattle Seahawks. Anyways, no. I mean, I'm at the point now, this is the kind of contract that you're going to start seeing, Weasel, because, I mean, you tell me, thanks to Flacco and Romo, these quarterback contracts are out of control, man.
Yeah.
I mean, how are you supposed to field a team?
It's, one thing that I've always thought with contracts is that you always have, you know, guaranteed money. You have this to, and even if the player stinks, like terrible.
TRBL.
They get paid that money.
Yes.
But, I mean, there's some people, it's like they're betting on themselves. It's Kaepernick. I believe it, he only started, it was like a year and a half or so or something along that.
23 starts.
23 starts. Now, instead, the both teams are, I think they're both watching out for each other, because with the savings that, because of the low cap hits and stuff, Kaepernick is able to, you know, allow the 49ers to get more players for him.
Such as, say, wide receiver Stevie Johnson.
Yeah. Bop, bop, bop. and so Kaepernick may not work out. It's, I mean, he's a great talent. I mean, it's the kind of thing where if he doesn't work out, they could get rid of him and have, like, I think under $10 million, like a cap hit or something. It's, the 49ers, it's the kind of contract that they want to see Kaepernick, they want him to improve. They
want to pay your guy if he's making the Pro Bowl and the Super Bowl. Hell yes.
But if not,
Joe Flacco.
I mean, you can, they can cut him. But the thing is when you're getting paid like at least like $12 million a year and stuff like that, you're okay.
You're going to be all right.
So,
well, and you know, it's interesting you say that. And I think this is why Kaepernick needs more money from his team as versus, say, a Drew Brees or Russell Wilson. I don't know Kaepernick personally. I'm not getting after him. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. He's had some of these allegations that have been out and about and been proven completely false, but people are still vilifying him. You know, if you have any questions, please check out my man Teron Davenport. He'll walk you all through it. Actually, all you got to do is listen to this past week's edition of the NFL West Recess, hosted by my man Josh Martin, J-Mart. And I'll tell you what, Teron Davenport, in the second half of that show, breaks it down exactly, you know, why Kaepernick is given a bad rap and whether he deserves it or not. And check that out on nationalgridironnetwork.com on our Blog Talk Radio player there. And, you know, you can listen to it for yourself. But the short story is there's a lot of things that are construed about him. You know, he's a player of a particular confidence. Mine might even say cocky. He's got a lot of tattoos. And whether, look, I don't have a problem with it personally. You know, look, regardless of my fanhood, I mean, hell, Cam Newton has a lot of tattoos and has been a guy who's been quote unquote volatile in the press. I don't think so. And I don't have a problem with Cam Newton. I think Cam Newton is badass and, you know, a fantastic football player. Am I, you know, I mean, I'm not necessarily, I mean, it's weird with athletes because we don't really know them. And a lot of people, you know, I'm kind of pleading the Charles Barkley defense here. You know, I am not a role model, that kind of thing. But when you put that image of a Colin Kaepernick versus Russell Wilson, you know, or Drew Brees or Peyton Manning, they can afford to take less money in the contract, afford in quotes. Why? Because they have the capacity and talent to win Super Bowls, to be in the talk about Super Bowls, to be in the talk about potential Hall of Famer. For them, that's where the money is, because that's why you end up in, you know, commercials, right? Cut that meat. Cut that meat. That's for you, Drew. Mm-hmm. You know, but I mean, seriously, where you get the big contracts for, excuse me, for endorsement is where those elite players are going to make that money, you know. But then again, the lesser player may find himself in a very odd place negotiating his guaranteed money. Maybe not, because the number for a quote-unquote lesser player is lower. I don't know. It's a compelling topic and a very interesting turn for the NFL. And look, teams getting hamstrung by their quarterbacks' salaries is not good for the league overall. That's just my opinion. You know, I know we're looking for parity, but at some point, I want to see quality football on both sides of the ball. And if people are throwing all these money to quarterbacks to where they can't get those good players to give me higher quality football, then what's the point? I don't know. Anyways.
So definitely Russell Wilson's kind of the next on what are they going to do about that? Are they going to give him like $127 million? Or, because I don't think Russell Wilson is going to take a contract like that. I think he's going to take a normal, like lots of, lot of money guaranteed.
Normal.
For overpay quarterbacks, but he I think it's going to be like a simple contract, because this one is just, I mean, it helps out the team and it helps him out, because I mean, it's pretty much they're not putting all their eggs in one basket.
I don't know. I'd be pretty damn shocked if the Seahawks did not offer a similar contract to Russell Wilson.
I don't think it's gonna I don't think it's gonna be cap friendly like Kaepernick's.
You don't think it's what now?
I don't think it's going to be cap friendly, like Kaepernick's.
Oh, interesting.
Because there's so many things like having a $2 million less per season for not going to the Super Bowl and not, or being an All Pro first or second team, stuff like that is weird to have in a contract.
I agree.
But yeah, it's a good for both sides, because when you look at Jay Cutler, his contracts and stuff, it's like, yeah.
Tony Romo, yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, your back's messed up. Anyway, exactly. I don't know. On that lovely, lovely note, we're going to go ahead and hit up the break. And we are back here on the National Gridiron Network, bringing you football talk just the way you like it. And, you know, I'm going to give a shout out to some of the other people here on our network, you know, who helped bring us the football awesome week in, week out. Of course, we have, you know, got to give a shout out to the former student of the game panelist, Mr. Drew Glukov, as after this show, he hosts the College Cram with one John Doucette. I don't know if you've ever actually heard John Doucette, Weasel, but let me tell you, this is a knowledgeable individual. He is all over the place knowledgeable. They're like, they've even talked college hockey and college baseball. Now, I didn't listen so much to the baseball because we know how I feel about baseball, but he was talking college hockey at one point when the Frozen Four and the NCAA hockey tournament were relevant. And I got to be honest, very compelled to talk. And it's college hockey. I'm like, what? Huh? What? I don't know. Anyways, so they're on 9 o'clock Eastern, shortly after our show, matter of fact. So there you go. There's the Monday night there. And of course, Tuesday night, you have the NGN Weekly, the flagship show of the network, hosted by Don Rafael Garcia. Dr. Steven Novicki of Shock Strips. We've had him on this show before, actually. Mm-hmm. And he'll be on that show talking more about the cutting edge of concussion technology and shock strips and things that are being done with the evolution of the game there. So it's a good build on the discussion. I think it's a discussion that we need to have constantly because, you know, I mean, this is for all levels of football. Whether it's the college kid, the youth football player, you know, this research needs to continue.
I think there's one of the campaigns for the NFL in light of all those, you know, concussion things is I think one of the programs is I think it's called like Keep Your Head Up.
Heads Up.
Heads Up. And pretty much what that's saying is you're going to tackle someone, keep your head high.
Yes.
And don't like lead with the helmet. I think they should maybe take that to the college ranks because a lot of guys don't understand that.
Well, right. And in a lot of cases with that, it's because they were taught at a younger level bad form or weren't coached properly. And you know, not to be a poster boy or a damn commercial for it, but the point of the heads up football is coaches are heads up certified or whatever at the youth level. So the parents can be like, hey, these coaches have, you know, I think it's like they take classes and you know, keep their training up to date, that kind of thing. They have to train and retrain and on a regular basis. I'm not exactly sure about it, but there's a certification with it. I mean, you know, it's not like you just can't go out and scuba dive. You have to go and earn a certification to do so. And that's kind of what they're doing with the Heads Up program with the coaches and things like that. And I think you could probably still coach a football team without the certification, but, you know, I'm not going to lie. These programs show that the NFL is taking an interest in not only the future of its own sport, but the kids that are playing it. And as they move up through the ranks, through high school, through college, and I think the point you were getting to is as they go up through those ranks, they're learning the rules better now. You know, I mean, is it easier to teach a kid to do it right in youth football, or is it, I mean, how do you recoach a college player? You know, it's tough. It's mm-hmm. tough. So I like that they're trying to solve that problem at the earlier level. Granted, it's going to take more time for us to see actual results in the NFL ranks. I mean, you know, you got to wait for the high school players to then get through college or even the youth football players even further, obviously. But, you know, I see where you're going where they're trying to set that foundation in good form. Hey, that's the key to it, man. Absolutely. So anyways, that will be on the NGN Weekly, the flagship show, 9 o'clock Eastern. And yeah, Dr. Steven Novicki, as I said, with Shock Strips. And of course, there's a lot more there going on, including one of the network's most favorite segments entitled For Real? As in, that just happened? For real? Like, Johnny Manziel went out and partied and we're going to whine about it? For real? I mean, seriously, what's up with that? Like, even Nick brought it up last week during the debate where he got trounced by Big TJ. No offense, Nick. But he mentioned Romo going on the cruise with Jessica Simpson. Okay, come on, dude. Really? Really?
I think it was Witten was there.
Well, Witten was there as well. And look, I don't care what, you know, entirely inappropriate implications we can get out of, you know, a dude is his girlfriend and his, you know, his best buddy going on a cruise would imply, as Nick tried to imply during this debate. But what I'm getting to is this. Who cares? Why do I care? Why does anyone care?
A lot of times, I think, sometimes, aren't they, if they've got like a couple weeks or something off or something to that effect, don't teams give players time off?
I would.
And,
you know?
So.
I mean, let's be real for 30 seconds, okay? What's more stressful? Follow me on this. Because at the time, Tony Romo, single dude, dating, pop star. I mean, Jessica Simpson, she's pretty hot. I get it. You know, can't blame her. And they're on the cruise, and, you know, they're hanging out. And that's look, being on a cruise ship, you and I can both speak for it, for those who haven't, very relaxing experience. These people wait on you hand and foot and are extremely generous whether you give them a tip or not. And if you do tip them, well, they're just more generous. I'm just saying, you know, look, give a dude $5, he's going to keep your drink a little bit more full. That's all I'm saying. Little tip. No pun intended. Anyways, meanwhile, these other cats and these other veterans in the league, their alternative, if they got wives, families, and I'll give credit to Colin Cowherd. He made this point because at the time that it came up, I was not a father yet. I've been a father all of, what, 6.5 weeks? Now I'm trying to think I'm a damn expert here, right? No, but these veteran guys that have wives and families and things like that, the family vacation, right? They're in the car, right, driving to somewhere, I don't know, Disney, whatever, fill in the blank place, you know, the Grand Canyon, depending on, you know, if you're an Eastern or Western NFLer, right? You're actually going, hey, keep a bow down back there. You know, I mean, not that they're literally driving the car. So what if they're NFL players and can afford a plane ride? Whatever. The point is this. Being with the family, keeping track of the kids, and that vacation, miles more stressful than what Tony Romo did. And as a quarterback of, quote unquote, America's team, I hate that, America's team, dude going on a cruise where the only time you're really going to get a camera on him at this day and age, because we didn't have camera phones to quite the extent we do now back then, right, is out on a damn boat. On a mother boat, as they say. Who? What's the name of that group that did that song? Do you know that?
Oh, it's one of the...
You'll get back to me. But, I mean, you know, it's you know... God, now that's bothering me that I don't know the name of that group. But anyways...
The Lonely Island.
I knew that!
And that was featuring T-Pain.
Thanks, Weasel. There you go.
Yeah.
Our hip-hop connection.
Excellent song. I'm on a boat.
On a mother boat. Fill in the blank. Anyways, so no, while he's out on a mother boat, he ain't got no stress. No one's out there bugging him because the press have not yet perfected hovercrafts to follow him on the cruise ship. Not to mention, I think that would violate maritime law. But details. I don't know. Anyways, so... There's that. For all the people, leave Johnny alone. You know, I never understood why they were after Johnny Manziel and Rob Gronkowski in the first place. And who allegedly, full disclosure here, right, during or between OTAs and mini camps and things like that, Johnny Manziel and Rob Gronkowski were in Vegas partying. Why do we care about that? I mean, honestly. Because a lot of people, well, first of all, a lot of people gave Gronkowski flack that he was dating a porn star. I mean, look, that's not my cup of tea, but why does anyone care? Look, maybe Charlie Sheen is his idol, right? Winning. I mean, is that so bad, Weasel?
Yeah.
It may not be the way I do it. I think that's a little high maintenance personally, but that's just me. I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, leave him alone, please, really. And I mean, these guys were like, well, the owners invested all these millions of dollars and blah, blah, blah. Look, all right, no. I mean, you got these cats out there who are, you know, beating, involved in domestic violence disputes. You know, the one I'm going to mention immediately is Ray Rice, because that's the most recent one. But we're going to get on to the youth of the NFL partying on their time off. I don't get it, Weasel. Messes with me. Anyways, we didn't really have a chance to talk about that, and I want to talk about that.
Well, I think part of it was matters the guy, because you're taking shots at Tony Romo, who, I mean, he, in the past, I think he like fumbled for a field goal or an extra point, he fumbled the snap. And
first of all, yeah, that ain't like it's yesterday. That's getting damn near 10 years ago now.
Yeah. I just realized like, Romo's like 34. He's getting a little bit up there. But,
yeah, 34. Those old bastards.
But with him.
Thanks, Weasel.
With him, I think people try to find a reason to hate him and stuff. Why? And for other players, Peyton Manning did this or something, everybody would be like, oh, that's good for him, you know, but...
Well, I don't think Jessica Simpson would be dating Peyton Manning,
hey.
But I see where you're going.
Something along those lines.
anyways, so, Carrie Underwood maybe, but even she found Tony Romo, so figure that out. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, no, but I mean, you're absolutely right. And let's get it current. What? You only scored 48 points on offense? Why couldn't you score more than 51 and beat Peyton Manning? It's your fault. I don't want to hear anything about Sean Lee getting beaten like a redheaded stepchild by Julius Thomas, America's favorite new tight end last year. I don't want to hear about that. You should have scored more than 51 points. It's your fault. Come on, dude. No, and I mean, it's funny you bring this up, because we just actually talked about this on Earnestly Speaking with EJ Christian on The Opinion Nation, also with G Steele. You know, Tony Romo, look, a lot of the mistakes revolving around Tony Romo have nothing to do with Tony bleeping Romo. Okay? I get it. Dude dropped, he couldn't hold a snap. And if I ever get a chance to finish writing the Romo parody I wrote, I will make fun of the fact that he dropped a snap. It is what it is.
The funny thing is during that season, I think it was he was the backup quarterback.
Oh, yes.
And so I guess it was like 6-7 games in. I think I think the quarterback had an injury or something. Or
bonus points if you can name that quarterback.
I
think Collins, it was Bledsoe.
Possibly. But anyways, what happened was Romo went in and he was the starter. But usually your backup is the one that holds the extra points and field goals.
Correct.
And they made a decision to have him do both.
Well, they never took him. It's not a decision to have him do both. I mean, look, this guy was undrafted, and the only reason why he got any attention, Tony Romo, was because he was the quarterback in the drills at the combine who was throwing. Yeah. And people were like, you know, this guy was throwing the ball. He's not bad, this guy.
Yeah.
And then lo and behold, you know.
Yeah.
They caught lightning in a bottle. Romo, in a world where we have Philip Rivers, Blaine Gabbert, Jake Locker, Christian Ponder, just to name a few. I'll throw in Byron Leftwich and Josh Freeman. Just for the hell of it. Just for the hell of it. Because I can. Joe Flacco. That's right. I just compared Joe Flacco to Tony Romo.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I'm saying. What? You trying to tell me if Tony Romo were in Baltimore that he wouldn't have won a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
People are going to try to tell me that Flacco was clutch. Look, because he pulled a few playoff games out of his butt where Jacoby Jones, the duck hunter, pulled some of his nasty passes out of the air. I'm supposed to believe that Flacco's clutch? Please. Please. My car is more clutch than him, and I know that for a fact just because I drive a manual shift. Okay? See what I did there?
I got you.
Was that reaching?
Yeah, not bad.
Okay, thank you. No, but come on, man. Leave Tony alone. Now, that being said, I don't find it a shock that he admits that Brett Favre is his idol. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I had to take it full circle there, Weasel. I thought you might feel that. I don't know. Anyways. So, you know, the next thing I saw that was kind of interesting to me, I was looking around, you know, the headlines around the NFL. And perhaps you've heard of one, Takeo Spikes. Well, actually, I don't think it was Takeo Spikes. Forget I said that. But I don't know. Excellent linebacker, played for a number of teams, the Bengals. I think it was a 49er for a time, too. I want to say he was on the Bills as well at one point, but I think I'm wrong with that. I think getting him mixed up with London Fletcher, who, by the way, very, very badass linebacker. I'm not even fronting on London Fletcher for a minute. I mean, yeah, we'll leave that at that. So, no, and I keep saying Takeo Spikes, and I'm trying to bail myself out. It wasn't Takeo Spikes I meant at all. No, just forget I said it wasn't Takeo Spikes. Might have been Brandon Spikes, but it wasn't Takeo Spikes. Not to mention Takeo, I don't know. We'll leave that at that. Actually, what I did want to talk about is the O'Bannon case is rearing its ugly head. What is the O'Bannon case? Good question, Weasel. For those who don't know, Ed O'Bannon is an NCAA basketball player, right? He's the head of a class action, the subject, I should say, of a class action lawsuit surrounding intellectual property rights for likenesses for college athletes. In other words, your everything about you except your name is in an EA Sports college game, NCAA basketball, football, whatever. And like one of the personalities here we have on the show, he's actually on the flagship show tomorrow night, Brandon Pemberton. We've had him on this show before. Fantastic draft guy. I'm a big fan of Brandon Pemberton, and he knows his NFL very well. He definitely had an awful lot to say about the departure of DeSean Jackson. I can't front on that, him being from Philly. But Brandon Pemberton, also a personality on the Sports Chronicles Radio Network, our sister station, on Thursday nights, Thursday afternoons, I should say, Thursday, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. with Sports Trap Radio. Great time there, by the way, if you want to check that out. He mentioned that some of his fellow teammates, he actually played football with a FAMU right here in our backyard, Weasel, mentioned that he was on the video game and like had the same height, had the same weight They even got as particular as whether you wore an undershirt, like in the basketball games, for example. You know, I mean, not as obvious in football. Like, you know, some players do wear Under Armour that's long sleeved. You know, or what if you're like me, who during your playing days you would wear Under Armour when it was cold, but not when it was hot. You did, for example. You know, I mean, did they get that detail? Apparently, they did. So their likenesses are all that, but the way that EA was getting around it is they just wouldn't put your name on it. Long story short, you'd be defensive end number 99 or whatever, right? Well, the O'Bannon case is trying to retroactively collect for money not paid these players. Now, should... For the record, EA has already pulled making college games. It's not going to happen. You will not see in NCAA 2014 anything because of this case. Now, granted, it hasn't been decided yet, but just on the outside chance that it goes against them, I don't think EA wants to spring for more retroactive money from the decision, right? I mean, I don't know. What do you see any good from this case happening? Let me put it that way, Weasel. Because for me, I don't yet.
I don't see any good, but a thing about it that I'm wondering about is that you have about, I guess in the college, 52 players in the team around, and you would have to do that to everybody, though, right?
Oh, yes.
So where that money is going to come from, does it come from the athletics program or something? It's like...
Oh, well, no. I mean, the NCAA is the party responsible, I think. And it would be a check that. EA would pay money to a class action. And it's kind of like with the concussion settlement between the NFL with the NFL players, right, is that they're given so much money for players in this time period. It's it's the same thing on that front. So EA will be paying, I think the number is $50 million. I could have that wrong. But anyways, it's a lump sum at a class action, right? And so if you're in this class action, you know, or actually if you fit this criteria, you played during this time, then you would be eligible for a portion of this lump sum, right?
For NCAA basketball games, is it they do the same thing?
Yes.
So yeah, it would go to different sports.
Yeah.
And you got a whole roster you got to do it to. So, but I don't like it.
What about the NCAA rowing game? NCAA crew. EA Sports going to have to worry about that.
Yeah.
That crew game. No, I got nothing. But in all seriousness, I don't know. You know, actually, in this one, the loser is specifically video game players. People who like playing the college football game.
Yep.
I don't see a winner. I mean, oh, okay, so these players will get a pennant, which really, when you do break it down, the money they're going to get isn't very much, considering what, you know, the game sold. Now, granted, EA Sports has been, or EA as a company in general, has been making some bad decisions, drowning ocean loads of cash into garbage game titles, so, you know, they've been taking a beating on some of their games, so, you know, having to throw a big lump sum at this case, not going to help their bottom line any.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I could go on about the video game industry, but hey, you know, escapist.com, they got some good analysts there. Could do that. They're better than me at video game stuff for sure. But, you know, I don't see where that could be a good thing. It's not going to be as damaging as this whole thing with the player unionization and paying of players. That's... has a lot more weighing on it. But, and here's where it's dangerous, Weasel, what's the thing that rules law on the whole?
Money?
No. Oh, well, that's very cynical. Kind of. What I mean is precedent.
Okay.
Precedent is the founding piece of law. And the O'Bannon case would set a precedent that would dramatically favor, where am I going? The unionization case for the NCAA players. Damn right.
Paying college players. Yeah.
And the point was, I mean, and this O'Bannon case has been lagging for so long. Hell, I was talking with Drew about it on the OT with Andrew G back when we were doing that on the Sports Chronicles Radio Network, before, back when we had that show together. And we said it now, and I'm going to maintain it. Or we said it then, I'm going to maintain it now. That could be the first die cast to completely obliterate college sport. I'm not saying it's going to happen immediately, but let's say by the time Veronica my daughter is a 34-year-old, you know, college sport will be a mere shadow of its former self. That being said, it'll be a little easier to follow. I mean, hundreds of over 100 teams in Division I is kind of ridiculous. But, you know, the tail started to wag the dog when it came to college athletics, right? You know, I don't know. Anyways, I don't mean to say that college players don't get the short end of the stick. We've talked about this many times, Weasel. I believe that books and some elements of food maybe should be part of the scholarship. I believe that, you know, some element of healthcare should be connected to the scholarship, where, you know, all schools put in so much money to finance that. I don't think that that's an improper thing to ask for, especially when, you know, these players are giving their bodies to the school. And that their scholarships, should the players get injured on the field in practice or in a game, something like that, I believe that they should have the right to keep their scholarship. Now, if they have grades that are bad, they don't maintain their grades, and they lose their scholarship academically, fine. I'm good with that. You don't go to class, you shouldn't keep your money. I agree. You know, I have a friend who did that, you know, who lost his scholarship to grades. And it's his fault. But you got a dude that blows out their knee on the field, that ain't cool. That's different. You know, we had Brandon Howard on this show. I don't remember if you were with me that day or not. You may have been off. But he was talking about, you know, having time and money to eat was a huge issue. And perhaps it's time to handle that, you know. I mean, whatever rates they set to pay the players may have been at a different point in time where those economics were good, not so much anymore. I mean, the system does need overhaul, but playing players outright is wrong. I think it's a bad move for college sports. Now, if they want to institute a minor league football circuit, a farm league for the NFL, if you will, I'm all about that. Because, hey, chances are Orlando will get a team. I mean, come on. We had the Rage. We had the Tuskers. We've had all these other, you know, lacrosse teams. And we got the Orlando City Lions now in soccer. That's going to be an MLS. The teams can do well here and have. But, yeah, I don't know. At the end of the day, the farm system, I think, is what we're going to end up with in the NFL. And I don't think that that's bad. I just think that college sports dying outright is bad, too. I don't know. Anyways, there's my little rant to talk about the things that we haven't got to talk about in the past couple weeks. Hey, it is what it is, man. We miss talking to you guys out there because we've had the debates. And while you've done a fantastic job, you did do a fantastic job judging last week when Big TJ and Nick did their thing. Big TJ versus the Mad Scientist. You know, hey, we got opinions on sports too, I promise. No, I mean, at the end of the day. Anyways, so with that, we got about 80 seconds here. Weasel, I'm going to ask you quickly, Teddy Bridgewater, is he going to start?
I'm hoping it's going to, I hope he starts the second year, but I could see maybe game 12 or so.
Okay. I think he's going to start sooner than that, honestly, do.
There are reports. He said that he doesn't mind being a backup. Doesn't mind, like, you know, learning. So
in other words, saying exactly the right things that he's supposed to.
Exactly.
Yes. You can try on in front on that, but you would be wrong. Anyways, that'll do for us. Of course, check us out on the website, www.nationalgridiron.com or ngscsports.com. Boop, boop, boop. Yeah, that's right. That's coming up too. You'll take you to the site there. You can listen to our show player there and also check out our many current articles. Good times there all the way around. Of course, you can catch us on Twitter at the SOTG or my man Weasel Weez.
Yeah, boy.
At Weasel, the SOTG, all one word, by the way. If you don't know how to spell Weasel, well, then you happen to be my wife. But anyway, with that, we will see everybody next week.
10 seconds.
Until next time, class dismissed.